Today what we're going to do is we're going to, in this passage, we're going to basically be able to answer a couple of questions. One is, how do you continue to serve Jesus in ministry over the long haul? And if you've been following Jesus for any length of time, hopefully you come to the realization that this is not just a sprint. This is really a marathon to continue to follow Jesus and learn what it means to follow Jesus. You know, I keep thinking back to when I first became a Christian back in 1982. I had no idea really what it meant to follow Jesus, other than I needed a Savior, He was it, and He was going to call the shots, you know. And I had no idea what all that meant, and none of us really do, really, ultimately, except for what the Bible tells us what it means to follow Jesus. But our own particular race that we have to run to follow Jesus is unique, right? We all face various challenges along the way in following Jesus. And so we're going to learn some things about how we can continue to serve Jesus in ministry over the long haul. And then we're also going to learn about how we can battle against comparing ourselves, because, you know, that can happen. When you're serving Jesus, it's very easy to compare yourself with other people. Maybe size yourselves up about how they're following Jesus versus how you're following Jesus. And with that can come some judgmentalism. We can start to think that we know how to evaluate how they're following Jesus, you know, and we would maybe give them a poor grade or a really good grade. And does that even really matter what we think, right? And so we're going to talk about how we can battle that, because if we don't learn how to battle that type of thinking, which is incorrect, you know, we're going to have a hard time following Jesus. And frankly, playing the comparison game and playing judgmentalism can really just suck the life right out of you, honestly, as you're following Jesus. And so what we'll do is, if you're able to stand with me, let's go ahead and I'll read this scripture passage. It's just five verses today as we look into the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. It says, "This is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God." This is God's word. Please have a seat. You know, as we take a look at this passage here and dig into it, again, I told you we're going to try to answer a couple of questions. One being, how can you really keep on serving Jesus for the long haul? How can we make sure that we will stay following Him? And one of the things is we have to really understand the role of ministry. We have to understand what is ministry in this regard. And so let me point out a couple of things here. The role of ministry is to be a servant of Jesus by being faithful with what has been entrusted to you. That's really the role of ministry. Now, maybe you're thinking, well, I'm not a minister. I'm really, you know, I don't. It's not. I'm not in Pastor Greg's shoes, or I'm not one of the elders in the church. So, you know, what are you talking? Or maybe this really has no application for my life. And actually, you would be wrong if you're thinking that. Let's take a look here in the book of Ephesians. If you're got a Bible or your device, go ahead and turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Just a quick look at a couple of verses. Ephesians 4, and then verse 11 says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers," verse 12, "to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ." And just, you know, we're kind of dropping in on this passage here, but God is really dialing into us and telling us that, you know, one of the job descriptions of the pastor, teacher of the church is to equip God's people for ministry, to do ministry, right? And so it's not this idea of that, you know, leave the ministry to the professionals, you know, whatever that is, and then everybody else, you know, just comes to receive. No, this is really meant to be, this is an equipping time here. That's how we view our Sunday morning. We're equipping God's people for ministry, right? And we are always proclaiming the gospel of Jesus. We want people to know how to have a relationship with God. But this is an equipping time. And so I don't know. You have to think about this. Have you made the shift from thinking that that it's really that your job is to receive and the elder's job is to dole out and give or whatever? Do you see that you have a ministry? God wants you to be a minister, a servant of the Lord Jesus, right? And this is really, we need to recognize this, right? Is that this is the thing, is that the role of ministry is to be a servant of Jesus. And we all are really our ministers. Now, yes, Paul is really addressing an issue on how he wanted the Corinthians to view them as ministers, okay? That is definitely happening. But I think we can take a zoom out a little bit on our application to say we all are ministers really too, and so there is some application here for us, not just for those who are church leaders or pastors and so on. And so think about this. We need to understand our role of ministry. If we're going to be in this for the long haul, we got to know, are we doing the right things, right? That's critical. And so this role of ministry, to be a servant of Jesus by being faithful with what has been entrusted to you, and that's key, is to think about this. You know, we can think about how, yes, we are serving people. You know, when we're in ministry, it's a people thing, isn't it, right? Ultimately, whether you're in the foreground in some kind of a leadership role, or whether you're in the background, if you have a gift of service or mercy or whatever, I mean, where that's maybe not so upfront, but either way, it's affecting people, and we need to realize that yes, we are serving people, but ultimately we are serving Jesus. He's the one calling the shots, right? He is our Lord and Savior, and so we have to recognize that. Right, you know, when I'm teaching at Columbus State, I've got to realize, okay, in a sense, my students are my customers. Okay, you can think of it that way, but they're not my boss. Okay, my boss is the head of the math department. Okay, and whatever he says goes. Okay, and ultimately, I need to do what pleases him, and hopefully, that helps my customers. Okay, right, and I think it does. But I have to realize, you know, who it is I'm actually serving, ultimately, all right? And so we have this role of ministry that's laid out for us here in these first couple of verses. It says, this is how we should regard us, as servants of Christ, stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. And so, now let me talk about this for a second. We talk about being a servant of Jesus, right? We talk about being a servant of Jesus, but what about this idea of being a steward, okay? And that idea of being a steward is you've been given a trust, okay? Something has been entrusted to you. If you're a steward of someone's household or whatever, if you think back to the Old Testament, Joseph was a steward of the guy's household, right? And so he was managing the household. Right, it wasn't his stuff, it was somebody else's stuff, and he was to take care of it, right? And so the Lord has entrusted some things to us, right? So being a servant of Jesus Christ in ministry, which we all are supposed to be, whether it's our vocation or not, is that are we building up his church with the things that he's given us? Okay, are we building up his church? Not the physical building, but his body, okay? And in fact, when you look back at that Ephesians 4 passage, it says that the people of God are being equipped, right, for ministry For what? The building up of the body, right? So your ministry, whatever it is, in the body of Christ, is meant to build it up. It's meant to build up the body of Christ. So you've been given a trust. You've been given a trust. Let's put it down on a level of a different level here. Well, how about this? I was at a restaurant the other day. It's a new deli here in the Hilliard area, and it's interesting. They are constantly looking to refill your drink, right? It's not a high class restaurant or anything like that, but their eyes always on your table, where they're just, the servers are wanting to kind of make sure that you're enjoying your time there. How's the food, right? How could I get you another drink, all this? And they're being faithful with what they've been entrusted, right? So their boss has said, usually a server's giving a certain number of tables to take care of, right? And their job is to what? Be faithful with it. To be faithful with that which they've been entrusted. They've been entrusted with these tables. They're supposed to make sure that the customers are taken care of. Are they going to be faithful, right? Now, each one of us, right, has been given gifts by God. We've been given talents, finances, time. And the question would be is, are we being faithful with that? Are we utilizing those to build up the body of Christ? And bring that right down here to the Church of Diamond Creek. Am I using my gifts? Am I using my talents, the time, talents, and treasure, if you will, to build up the body of Christ? Faithfulness is really the measure, right? And I can't be faithful with what you've been given to be faithful with, right? I'm not responsible for what you're supposed to do and what God's given you, right? I have to be faithful with what I've been given and what God's given me to do. My gifts, my time, my talents, my treasure, and it's different from yours, right? And that's where you kind of realize the whole comparison thing should go out the window, because we're not given the same things, right? We're not given the same things. And so this idea of faithfulness there, where he says in those verses, right, moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. Will they be found faithful? Now, are we faithful with the good news? I think this is a good question, right? Are we each faithful with the good news? We have all been entrusted with the gospel message. If you've received Christ as Savior and put your faith in him, right, it's not something that we want to just hold on to for ourselves. We are commissioned by God to share that good news, just like the young girl in the video there with Operation Christmas Child, right? She was sharing what she had learned, sharing how Christ had saved her, right? And so we need to be faithful with the message, but faithful with our gifts. Faithful with our gifts. So be thinking about that, right? How are we doing with that? How are you doing with that? Are you faithful with the ministry opportunities that God gives you? Are you being faithful with the gifts he's given you? And only really you and God can answer that, right? I can't sit here and say, oh, you're doing a great job, because I don't really know everything God's given you. I might have an idea, from the effect that when you use your gift has, right? But let's even face this. We don't even know all the effects our gifts have, do we? There's things happening you can't even see, right? Effects that we can't even see or evaluate or quantify in any way. I was thinking about this parable here, the parable of the talents, and here towards the end of that passage here in Matthew 25, it says, and he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more. His master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And here we just have this picture of, when we have to come to an account, right, of were we faithful with what God gave us? Now, let's be honest, at least I'll be honest, that I don't always think about this, right? We go day to day, we have to make a living, we got to pay the bills, we got to take out the garbage. There's all these things that are just going on, and we're not always thinking about am I being faithful? And so today, at least as part of this message, is for us to be thinking, hey, maybe you should take some time and take that before the Lord in prayer and say, God, am I being faithful here in the local expression of the body of Christ at Derby? Am I being faithful in employing the gifts you've given me? And am I ministering there, or am I primarily just on the receiving end? You know, and that could be all kinds of things. I mean, it doesn't have to be something that just always happens here on a Sunday morning. I mean, we got to think beyond that, right? Ministry to one another and the building of the body of Christ is supposed to take place, 24/7, really, 7 days a week, right? I mean, this is not something that just happens within the bubble of an hour and a half here, right? And so, you should be asking the Lord, you know, Lord, am I being faithful? Are there some ways I could be more faithful in stewarding the things that you've given me? And maybe the answer will be yes. Maybe the answer is fine, you know, but maybe the Lord will challenge you that you're not using your giftedness. You're not, you know, and then maybe you need to ask yourself, why is that? Right? And if there's a barrier in the way, you got to say, well, how can I get that removed? What could I do? Right? So this is a matter of prayer here, this understanding this aspect. Now, the second thing is, and this kind of deals with the comparison thing in judgmentalism, is we got to know, if we're going to escape that trap of judgmentalism and trying to kind of evaluating each other and judging each other about whether what we're doing is effective or is going to last or whatever, is if we really know who evaluates your ministry and when the evaluation takes place, all right? Knowing those two things will help us, I think, really guard against this idea of really comparing ourselves with one another and so on. Well, having a proper evaluation of your ministry depends on who is evaluating and when the evaluation takes place. And we'll see in these verses here that the Lord will give your ministry evaluation, and it will take place after Jesus returns. Okay? So it's Jesus, it's the Lord who's going to do the evaluation, right? Not you, not me, not somebody outside this church, right? Ultimately, it matters what the Lord thinks. And that evaluation will take place when he returns. So when you look here at these verses, 1 Corinthians 4, 3-5, let's look at this again that we read earlier. Paul says, but with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. So don't you get the feeling like they were judging him? That they were sizing him up, comparing him to Apollos, right? And to Cephas. And we saw this earlier in the book that there was this like, well, I think he's a better leader, or he's a better communicator, or he's more charismatic, or whatever the thing was, okay? And so Paul's like, I really don't care what you think of me, you know, because that really doesn't matter. In fact, he says, you know, I don't even care what the human courts think, which would be like those outside the church. And he says, frankly, I don't even judge myself. Well, why does he say that? Well, he's not saying that we should never reflect on how we're doing. He's really saying, well, but I've got blind spots. I'm not going to perfectly judge myself, right? So he's saying, I'm not even really a good judge of myself, right? That's what he's saying in verse 3. But then he goes on to verse 4, for I'm not aware of anything against myself. And by the way, that's a good thing to be thinking about, right? Lord, you know, like that prayer in the Psalms, Lord, examine me to see if there's any hurtful way in me, right? Is there something, Lord, that's not right in my life? And if he brings it to your mind, then we got to start digging in. We got to start working on that, whichever it is he shows us, right? And it's one of the wonderful things about the Holy Spirit, right? He's good about convicting. He's good about showing us things. It's almost like this searchlight, you know, when we're open to it, he'll put that spotlight on there and he'll show us and bring to light the things that maybe aren't right, okay? And show us. He says, for I'm not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. In other words, that doesn't get me off the hook, because it is the Lord who judges me, he says. It is the Lord who judges me. And then verse 5, therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes. And to these guys, he's basically saying, you know, don't evaluate the effectiveness of my ministry based on what you think, because number one, Jesus is doing the evaluating, and this thing's not done yet. Okay? And so do not pronounce judgment before the time comes, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in the darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. And this is a tough word, isn't it? It's really kind of a challenge to us to say, you know what? There's going to come a day where now the account books are going to come out. And the Lord Jesus, this is for believers, by the way, okay? You know, we're not talking about a judgment for eternal life or not. That's if you're a Christian, that's a done deal. This is the evaluation of what you've done. Right? This is about the faithfulness with what you've been given, right? And so he's saying, in that day, things will be brought to light that were now hidden in darkness. That doesn't necessarily mean all bad stuff, okay? It can mean bad stuff, you know, stuff that was there that nobody saw, but it could also be things that, you know, how people were judging you, they thought your motives were bad, and this, that, and it'll come to light. No, you had great motives. You know, people can't see my heart. They can't see your heart. And so that'll be brought to light. Okay? And he says, and will disclose the purposes of the heart. And again, this is why we can't really accurately evaluate one another's ministry and what we're doing very well, because we can't see the things that are unseen. That makes, it's kind of master of the obvious, right? We can't see the things that are unseen, right? But that's just it. We got to realize there is a motivation component, right? What our motives are. And then we've got to realize that, you know, there's all kinds of things going on, factors we don't have any idea. And, you know, to my shame, I can't tell you the number of times I've prejudged a student in my class. I already sized them up. I already put them in a box in the category and said, okay, you're one of those types of students. And to my own shame, once I dug in a little bit, asked a few questions, I realized there's more to the story. There's something else going on. Yeah, the stuff they're doing over here is not helping them in their classwork, but there's something else going on that's totally scuttling their ability to perform well. Okay? And so things were coming to light. They come to light. Now, you know, I try to give people grace when I can in the classroom, but I can't, you know, change the evaluation standards. Okay, but you try to, when you can give compassion in that way, I try to do that. But I say, to my shame, sometimes I don't. I'm judgmental. I've got preconceived ideas, you know, and I pray, Lord, help me, Lord, to not be that way, you know. And we shouldn't be that way with one another either, because sometimes there's things you don't know. No matter how well you know a person, there's things you don't know that might be going on, right? That might be affecting. And the Lord weighs all that out, but not you and I. Okay? All right. This is a picture of one of my evaluations, just one page. I didn't want to show you the rest, show you the good stuff. No, I'm just kidding. It's always interesting to be evaluated in the classroom. And especially this was my first time in doing a collaborative classroom. Okay, my first semester doing anything like this, and so I was thinking to myself, I wonder who this person. I didn't even know who this person was. Okay, I passed them in the hallways. In fact, I had to look up and find their picture on the website to find out who it was in the math department who was going to be evaluating, because they email you and they say, hey, here's the dates that I could come in and view your classroom, right? And then they say, you know, I'll pick one of those dates, and what's really nice, they actually kind of let you know when they're going to come. They wouldn't have to. And the guy was helpful that did my evaluation, although I will say I've had more helpful feedback before. Like, so it's nice that if everybody says good things about you, but it doesn't really help me get better, okay? And I've had some other evaluators who really, you know, encouraged you, affirmed you on the stuff you're doing well, and they give you specific examples. Then they also give you specific examples, like the first time I taught calculus. I mean, it's a challenge to teach calculus, the first time I taught it, the guy that evaluated me, super nice guy, really helpful for me, but had some really good constructive input on how I could do better. And he was a good evaluator. And so, but the nice thing was, too, is the timing of the evaluation. We're talking about the timing of this of our evaluation. I've had evaluators evaluate me. They stayed for 5 minutes and left. Okay? Well, that's, and I was really mad. That really distracted me because I'm like, you know, you don't even know what's going on in here, man. You saw, in fact, one time, the guy was in there for 10 minutes, and all I had the students do was seat work. They didn't even actually see me do anything. I mean, they're sitting there working problems, and I usually have students do that when they first come in. I put a problem up on the screen, get to it. Okay, it usually connects with something we're doing. And so they left. I'm like, dude, man, you got nothing. How do you know anything? I mean, I could be out here, you know, talking politics the whole time, and you wouldn't know it, you know? And so waiting for the full class period and from beginning to end is the only way you're really going to know what's going on, right? And so you think about what's going on here in the evaluation when Jesus evaluates our ministry, right? Each of our ministries is that when we it's going to, you got to wait. You don't know what's going to happen, you know? And plus, you know, praise the Lord for his grace and mercy, right? That we may be in a phase right now, or we're in a funk or whatever, and we're just not being real faithful or whatever, or maybe for whatever a season we can be kind of sidelined for some reason and whatever, but it's not over yet. Okay, we can still pick up the ball, get involved in ministry, and be faithful with the stuff God's given us. And so so don't let it discourage you if maybe that you've had a season of discouragement in your ministry and serving the Lord, but just know this, that the Lord, he's in your corner, and he wants to see you use those gifts he's given you and really see you flourish for the kingdom, okay? And so, anyway, enough about my evaluation. Listen, you know, there are three poor evaluators as to the lasting value of your ministry. And he mentions those here in this passage. You know, like, for example, wouldn't it be great if they just had me evaluate myself in the classroom? Boy, that was a great lesson. Best one ever, you know? Well, kind of biased, right? So I'm not probably the one who should evaluate myself. Now, I did have a chance to give input to their evaluation, which I think is good. But anyway, what are some poor evaluators? Those inside the church, because Paul said to these people, said, listen, let me go back to the passage here. Let's see here. It says, for verse 3, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you. Those were the guys in the church. So, you know, those inside the church are not the best, ultimately, evaluators of our ministry. Now, is it okay to get input? Yes. Should we give input? I think so, lovingly, as we get to know each other, right? But listen, they should. We don't know the motives. We can't see those things. We don't have spiritual x-ray glasses to know exactly the condition of one's heart. So we're really not the best to give the ultimate evaluation of each other's ministry and our faithfulness to it, okay? We're just not. And then those outside the church are really not good at that. He mentions the human courts. But let's, you know, if you're not careful, though, you might care too much about what people outside the church think, okay? And that we have to be careful with that, right? We can't be man-pleasers, so to speak, right? We got to be God-pleasers, and we have to make sure that when we're doing our ministry, we're doing it in alignment with what the Scripture says, and even though it may conflict and be, can I use the word, politically incorrect with what's going on in the world, okay? We can't worry about that, okay? Yes, there are gray areas, but there are plenty of black and white, okay, in the Scriptures about how to do ministry and what's right and what's wrong and all of that, okay? And so when it comes to those black and white things, if what's outside the church says something is right and God says it's clearly wrong, we got to say it's wrong. But if we're not careful and we're like, oh, I don't want to offend people, you know, and all this, well, then, you know, you're gonna be a man pleaser, and then that's not good. you're letting others kind of evaluate what you value. And that's not right. It should be the Lord that does this. Okay? And yourself. You know, we're really not good at evaluating ourselves. You know, and in fact, if we really stick with evaluating ourselves, we can become very discouraged, right? We can get really introspective and bum ourselves out, right? That's one side of the self-evaluation. The other side is we might become too prideful and say, man, I'm doing a great job, you know? And so we are poor evaluators of ourselves when it comes to ministry and how we're doing, okay? And so that's why it's saying it's better that the Lord is the one who's doing the evaluating in the end, okay? Okay, now, again, it's not a bad thing that we receive input from one another, okay? You know, if you see a blind spot in my life, it's really your responsibility, if it's something that's sin versus not sin, you know, that be pointed out, okay? So that's okay, right? It should be okay to have input to each other's lives. Now, that takes time, takes trust and all that, okay? But ultimately, it's the Lord who's going to judge. A couple of verses here that relate to this. Romans 14, verses 10 to 12 says, "Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God.' So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God." Again, I lost contact with the universe, didn't I? Sorry about that. Did that just happen? Okay. All right. Okay, we're back. Yep. H0309. Oh, okay. So there's a need back in the kids' ministry. H0309? Is that right? Okay. Thank you. No problem. That's fine. Yeah, not a problem at all. I'm glad you said something. All right, so Romans 14, 10 to 12. "For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God.' So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." You know, this is getting real here. This passage here is getting real, where he's saying, listen, we're going to have to stand before God. It's not about heaven or hell for the believer. It's about, what did you do with what I gave you? Were you faithful? Right? And you know, it's not you going to have to give an account for me. It's not me going to have to give an account for you. It's about, what did we do with our time, talents, and treasures? Okay? That's what we need to be, is realize that day is coming. Okay? Okay, so I'm sorry, because I live a lot. I live, you know, half my time at Columbus State. And so all these things come to my mind. Usually about this time in the semester, you get, is there anything I can do to pass this class? You know, is there anything at all? I'm like, well, this is kind of not a good time to be asking that question, because, you know, and then I'll be thinking about, well, I don't even know if it's mathematically possible for you at this point, because sometimes you run into that where it's not even possible. You got to realize that, and I try to tell all my students at the very first day. I have a whole little sermon I give on how you're gonna. If you want to succeed in this class, you got to do these three things. And I tell them what it is. And I said, this will. If you do these things, the likelihood that you will pass this class and get the grade that you have a goal for will happen. Okay, but if you take one of those away, the likelihood goes down dramatically. And I'm just telling them, like, you know, the final exam is coming, right? The final exam is coming, and the grand evaluation is happening, right? And everybody's getting nervous because the time is coming. You know, well, the thing is with us, you know, as believers, sometimes we think we're always going to have tomorrow. We just think that, you know, we think that grand evaluation that we just read about here in Romans 15 is going to be so far off. Right? Maybe it will, maybe it won't. And my point in bringing that up is not to guilt you, but just to realize it's coming. And living our lives in a way that's pleasing to the Lord is the only thing that matters. It's the only thing that matters, really. It's so hard, though, because those are things we can't see. We can't see that coming, right? But it's real nonetheless. 2 Corinthians 5:9 and 10 says a similar thing. It says, so whether we are at home or away, this is Paul talking about whether we're home in the body or away from you. It says, we make it our aim to please him, pleasing the Lord. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Again, this is judgment of deeds for the believer, good or evil. Good, you know, things that are going to have lasting value versus things that are going to be burned up, like we saw in a previous passage. You know, it's the stuff I'm doing, the time I'm investing, the money I'm putting out there, the gifts I'm using, are they really for eternal things, or am I living for things that are really just going to pass away and be burned up? And so that's the challenge there, is realizing that is coming. And so we have to remember here, so we kind of bring it back to this, the two questions we asked at the beginning, right? How are we going to keep going on for the Lord, right? Well, we've got to realize what the role of ministry is, and that is we're serving Jesus. We're serving Jesus, right, with what he's entrusted us to be faithful with, okay? And certainly the gospel message is always a part of that, but then your own giftedness, your own time, your own talent, your own treasures, you know, all of that. Are you being faithful? Faithfulness is the key. That's what's being evaluated. Were we faithful with those things, right? So how can we stay involved in serving the Lord for the long haul is to realize and to come to realize, well, what has he given me? Just what has he given me to do, right? I mentioned those servers at the restaurant, right? Well, you know, I would imagine, I've never been a server in a restaurant, but I would imagine, you know, if another server comes over to my area to take one of my tables, I'm going to be ticked off. That's my table. That's what I'm going to be accountable for, right? Plus, you're taking my tips, right? Right? And so in other words, you know, again, you don't have to give an account for me, and I'm not going to give an account for you, but you, it will be you standing before the Lord, and it's going to be, you know, and so let that kind of drive us to, you know, continue to follow Jesus and give our everything. And then how do we fight that comparison game? We'll just realize, well, it doesn't matter really what the other person thinks. Ultimately, it matters what the Lord Jesus thinks. And we really need to find out what he thinks. Isn't that another good reason why we should be involved in Bible study? To studying the scripture so we kind of know what Jesus thinks about things? Because it doesn't matter what you think. If it's not right, right? You could be deceived into thinking something's correct because you don't know what the Bible says. We need to know what the Bible says so we can know what God approves of, okay, and what he wants us to be doing, right? All right, let's go ahead and pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just to be honest, this is a very kind of sobering thing to be thinking about the day where we're going to be evaluated by you, and it's a very humbling thing. It could be kind of we could maybe be bummed out. But Lord, I can't think of anything that brings us more joy when we are walking in the truth, when we are doing and engaged in ministry that you have for us and that we're wired to do. And so, Father, I just pray that you would help each and every one of us to sit down with you this week, take some time, and reflect and pray and say, Lord, am I being faithful, God, to you in the areas of ministry you've given? Am I being faithful with imparting my faith to my children, or am I being faithful in family life in trying to be the best husband, the best father, the best mother, the best daughter, the best son that I can be for the Lord Jesus? Lord, help us, God, to be faithful with what you've given to us, whether it's our time our talents, the treasures, the money you've given us, the gifts, all the things, Lord, help us to be faithful and speak into our hearts, Lord, if we're not doing that which is pleasing to you, or if we're not being faithful, and show us, Lord, how to correct that. And Lord, help us to not compare ourselves with one another, knowing that there's different things going on, and knowing that ultimately what matters is what you think. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.